Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on July 2nd, 2024. Happy belated Canada Day, I guess. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I got my middle fingers up. Fuck you too. This podcast is definitely not for you. Definitely. Definitely. Definitivement pas pour toi. Every time I struggle saying a word in English, I say it in French. Just so I can prove to myself that I can't say the word. Even though you're not... You know what? Doesn't matter. All right. Before I start the show, without further ado, I'm going to ask you audience. Well, first I'm going to say shout out to the audience and applaud yourselves. Come on. Do something nice for yourself, all right? And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com is the email address. Yeah, I need to work on that website. And today's episode, titled 279... I'm not sure. The working titles maybe took out the garbage. I don't know. Okay. Here's the deal, folks. Today's episode, what I wrote is I talk about things I didn't know I'd be talking about. Okay, here's the thing, gang. Maybe I will go with that one. Yeah. When I prepare for, I usually prepare for an episode the day before. I list out what I, well, step one, I go through my, I got this little note, digital notepad that I store all these links. And sometimes I just store, it's the most annoying part about preparing for an episode. Cause yeah, I like to complicate things. Right. And, yesterday was Tuesday, right? Why does it feel like I didn't prepare like I usually do the day before. Oh, cause my clock was all fucked up. Yeah, I had the day off Monday because Tuesday was a holiday. Monday I took. Oh my God, focus. So I didn't prepare. I didn't wake up today with a prepared episode. That's my point. And what I did differently for today is instead of going through my long list of bookmark things I wanted to talk about. I just went off the top of my head, shit that was lingering in my head in that moment, and I wrote it down, and those became the topic of today's episode. And I guess based on how it goes, that's how I'll determine the podcast. Right? This is a long ass way to tell you that what I'm going to talk about. Which is, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. That's not true. But I want to remind you, it's my goddamn podcast, gang. It's my goddamn podcast, all right? And also, this is a safe space for my thoughts. It's my way of saying that, remember, you're the one who hit the play button. And shout out to all you new listeners. And yeah, let's go. Let's see how it goes, all right? So, before we get to feature thoughts, let's jump into some, we're going to start with some quotes and some randomness. Okay, first quote goes, "You're thinking too much, just let it flow." E. Palusak. I think I'm pronouncing that right. E. Palusak. Let me say another one. "Abundance is a flow of energy through you." I just Googled, quotes about going with the flow, and I got 28 of them. It goes, "Those who flow as life flows No, they need no other force. Lao Tzu. Life is like a river, the way of life to flow with the current. The way of life is to flow like the current. To turn against it takes effort, but the current will carry you if you let it. Float with joy and ease. Anonymous. Everything is temporary. Emotion, thoughts, people, and scenery. Do not become attached. Just flow with it. I'm going to go with Feel Me Flow by Naughty by Nature. Let it come, let it go, let it flow. All right, okay. One more time. One more. Be still like a mountain and flow like a great river. And flow like a great river. Lao Tzu. Go with the flow. Shout out to, I don't know, man. I'm reading these quotes and I feel like going with the flow is just an excuse people make to not be organized, which is what I'm doing. I mean, no, that's not fair. No, I did get organized the day before. I'm just reacting over the fact that I wasn't prepared. Excuse me. I was prepared a few hours ago. As of a few hours ago, I was just disappointed that I strained away from my tradition of being prepared the day before. But sometimes, the inspiration is not there. I'm trying to remember the name of my last episode. It was Let Him See You Cry. Yes, in that episode, I talked about how... It's wild. On the last episode, I was fully inspired. And on this one, the day before, I wasn't. Well, the inspiration came at the last minute. So maybe better late than never. Or I guess that's... I should be grateful for that. So we'll go with that. All right, let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, okay. First item on the randomness. Let me ask you something. How long do you wait? You know what? No. I'm going to address this to people who live on their own. Single folks, how long do you wait? How full does your garbage have to be before you finally get off your ass, grab it, push it down a bit, you know, tie a knot, replace it with a bag, and then walk over? First world problems right now. Walk over to the garbage bin, throw out your garbage, and then take it out. You know, I guess I'm talking to people who live in apartments, not y'all who got to wait every... But how long do you have to wait before your before you change the garbage? And I think what's worse, my bathroom or my kitchen. Nah, okay, kitchen. No. I'm more disciplined with my kitchen, but I'm giving you this long story to say how good it feels to have changed the garbage, my kitchen garbage. And I remember as I was walking back from the garbage bin and saying, hey, why don't I just call this episode, Took Out the Garbage? Just because it's a cycle. I love that feeling when the garbage is empty, I put shit in there, and then it gets close to the top, and then I start putting shit in. And I make sure there's, like, if I have a napkin in my hand, I'm like, push the garbage down, and then sometimes that motherfucker will push back up. I guess for me, it's when the garbage starts saying, no more, fuck you, then I change it. But for my bathroom garbage, holy shit, yeah, no, it takes me a while. I mean, I get clever. Look, I'm not a pig. I don't wait for shit to fall out the garbage. I'll put my foot in there, so I'll squeeze so I can put more shit in there, but it is annoying. I know there's people out there going, well, just change the garbage, what the fuck you gotta wait? Oh well, thank you for being better than me. Anyway, whatever. That's how long do you wait?
So you're a philosopher?
Quick rant. You know what grinds my gears? I need another word for grind my gears because I'm stealing from the Family Guy, And you know, just real quick, that the goddamn keyboard on my phone, on any phone. I'm a keyboard person, man. I think my biggest fear is coming to life. I'm worried about being one of those people who like fall behind on technology, and typing on that goddamn key. I got fat thumbs, and it's just you type something, and then you know you're not paying attention, and you realize you wrote the wrong word. Now I gotta backspace, and or the goddamn the spell checker. It's like, nah, man. I did mean the right bitch. Whatever. Right. I'm just work with me, man. Anyway, whatever. Okay. That's it. That's it. Goddamn phone keyboard. You kids and your technology.
So you're a philosopher?
Yo, it would suck. I show up to the job and they're like, yeah, no keyboards. Well, you only use our phones here. I'm saying, oh, fuck, I quit. Well, I guess I got to rob you. Guess I got to be a stick-up kid. Stick-up old man. For those of you wondering, on the last episode, I talked about that shit I wanted to smoke. And if you're curious, it was called Lemon Diesel strain. And it was all right. It was all right. It was bad, but it was all right. I'm looking for a strain that allows me to enjoy movies, music, especially music, and get creative. You know, with the right. Sorry. I'm laughing because that's the reason. The other reason I wasn't inspired for an episode was because I chose to get high. All right. That's it. That's the real excuse. I was like, I need to prepare for the show. And then I'm like, I need to smoke this shit. And I chose smoke this shit. And here we are, gang. Oh, right. The reason I'm laughing is because I'm blaming the weed for not giving me the creativity or not finding inspiration. So fuck Lemon Diesel. Who am I kidding? I'll try again.
So you're a philosopher?
I want to confess. I know it's the day after Canada Day, and I'm feeling a little bit ashamed of the fact that I betrayed our country. I'm sorry, gang. I betrayed our country. I bought strawberries that were grown in the United States because they were $2. Hold on, let me check. Hold on, I got the receipt with me. They were strawberries. $1.94, $2. I was like joining the boycott, but I'm like, man, fuck the U.S. I ain't buying shit from there, except maybe music, movies, maybe, you know. And I'll still keep my subscription to my favorite podcasters because they're fucking Yanks, and maybe that. But everything that, I'll stop. Oh wait, OnlyFans. Oh, you better be Canadian. Okay, who am I kidding? I remember I was holding the line and I was refusing to buy American product. And then I remember walking into Walmart, which is an American store, I don't, now that I think about it. And I saw $2 for strawberries. I'm like, oh, made in the U.S. But they were really pretty strawberries. I don't know what the fuck junk they put in there, but I'm ashamed, man. You know what? Fuck capitalism. All right? Capitalism forced me to betray my country. Who am I kidding? Yeah, no, that's where I'm at, all right? So I bought $2 strawberries. That's what it was worth, gang. Sorry, 2 days after Canada Day.
So you're a philosopher?
It's a little warm in here, huh? Oh, shit, did I mention it's... I'm pretty sure it's dans le 603. In our town. Okay, all right, now this is the tough part. I have... I'm not sure what to make. Okay, the next three items on the randomness I'm talking about could easily have been the final thoughts. But I think I'm just going to go with it. Go with the flow. I'm just going to go with it and see where the spirit takes me. And the first one is, while I was, well, first one is chapter 6 of Know My Name. Know My Name is the memoir by Chanel Miller. and I am continuing to enjoy this the audiobook, and it's read by the author. And again, I talked about it at the last episode, and The Memoirs of Chanel Miller. I don't know why I just brought up her site, like I need the reminder of what her name is. Anyways, recommended read, especially for you male chauvinistic pig. No, okay, no, kidding aside. It's for me, if I recommend, well, okay. Let me finish the book. Not that I expect to not like it, but let me. I guess to what I'm enjoying about the book, it's a human being asserting her humanity. They go slit the big letters, the big picture here is it Stalin who has a quote that said one death is a tragedy, a million death is a statistic, and it's like she wrote this book saying, I'm not going to be a statistic. Yes, this story is about me, but it's about all of us. And I'm going through the book and I'm listening to her words like the words of a dear friend. I don't know this, we're complete strangers, but just listening to her, there's a connection, I guess. It's some kind of connection, the kind of connection you have to a celebrity who does art that you enjoy. But in this particular case, it's, she's funny, she's articulate, not just articulate, but she's she's a talented artist. I'm not gonna mention the name of the other guy. I'm just gonna focus on her because it's her book. And okay, let me just get to the point. It's the reason I'm talking about chapter 6 is because it's fresh in my mind. And I, like I mentioned in the last episode, the urge to cry is surfaces when I'm listening to her. And what gets me is it's not even a sad scene. It's just all the emotions that's coming up. And I just, I think I forgot to mention this in the last episode, is that I talked about the urge to cry keeps surfacing. It's frequent inside me, but 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, I'm automatically I've gotten into the habit of fighting that urge to cry. But while I'm going through this book, it's very frequent. Let's just say the urge to cry isn't putting up a big fight. It's like, oh, okay, left, right, okay, combo, boop, okay, whatever, I win. But that's not my point is, there's a lot of feeling. I don't know why. What's stopping me from crying is not knowing why I want to cry. Yeah, I know that's kind of some dysfunctional shit. But that's where I'm at. The book just makes me emotional. And I am, as much as I'm enjoying the book, I am forcing myself to pace myself with it. Because I might be fighting the urge to cry, but I want to feel what I want to. I'm taking the time to feel what I need to feel as I read this shit. As I read the words. There's 2 points. There are 3 points I want to make. One is the urge to cry. The second one is, there's a point she made about masculinity that I liked. I was going to say appreciate, but so if you know the story of Chanel Miller, when she was sexually assaulted by fuckboy there, two Swedish student, exchange student, I guess, I think they were on their bikes, and they see at a distance behind a dumpster, they see some dude gyrating over a bar that's not moving. They're like, what the fuck's going on? And they approach homie, and they're like, the homie tries to run, they grab him, and they sit on him until but first they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And once they came to her rescue, and she was apparently, I think one of the witnesses was like emotional after this shit, like couldn't believe what he saw. Like he's trying to explain what just happened to the officer, and he goes into tears and all that. And the point I'm trying to make is she made a point about how that's true masculinity. And the reason I bring it up is because I'm on this journey of defining masculinity for myself. What those two did, coming to her aid, not because they wanted a reward, not because they, you know, oh, fuck, y'all, this one, this is how we pick up a chick, whatever. Not because they were, because it was the right thing to fucking do. I'm grateful for all you men out there who, it's going to sound weird, I don't know how to articulate these words, but essentially, I can fuck you up. I can use the strengths to fuck you up, but instead, I'm using this strength to defend people who can't defend themselves, come to their aid. I have an advantage over you, and I'm not going to use this advantage over you to take advantage over you. I'm going to use it to other people's benefit. Like, to me, that's... I'm grateful for what these dudes did. Yeah, I even saved a picture of of the two dudes. You know what? Let me Google. Okay. I'm actually wrong. Dudes. Let's see if Google... Dudes who came to help Chanel Miller. I've recited, spelt that name so often. The two dudes who helped Chanel Miller were Swedish graduates, graduate students, not that it makes a difference, Peter Lars Johnson and Carl Frederick Arndt, A-R-N-D-T. And the only reason I bring this up is because it's to say thank you for being an example of what masculinity should be. I was debating between saying could be, should be. Because right now, the motherfuckers who are controlling the definitions of masculinity are all monsters, are all people I despise. But I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to, well, you know what? There's a civil war going on between men. And the civil war is between men who don't want to change shit about masculinity, want it to keep its status quo, and the rest of us who want to change it. Well, yeah, that's it, man. That's the only part I want to make, man. Shout out to those two for being an example of what masculinity should be. I should say it will be. Oh, last point I want to make is, and this is why this could have been a feature thought onto its own. Man, so chapter 5 was her first day in court. Chapter 6 was after her first day in court and just killing time until the next time in court. And so she talks about how she was like living with her boyfriend at the time, and shout out to her boyfriend too for again, I'm just loving this story, right? She's a great writer. It's a motherfucking shame what happened to her for me to discover her, but for me to find out she's a great writer. But here we are. And right, so she's at the part where she's waiting for the next, it's as if she's looking for ways to kill time. And yada, yada, yada. Oh, my God. She goes to a comedy club. And I guess it must have been like open mic, some shit like that. And they left the comedy club. And she jokes about how, yeah, I think I'm going to do comedy next. And her boyfriend makes the mistake of looking at her like, come on, man, you ain't no comedian. Like in a couple's way, whatever, they have their dynamics. And read the book, man. I guess I'm spoiling it for. I don't know if these are considered spoilers, but anyways. And she says that, yo, there's a rule in my head. no one gets to decide what I can or cannot do except for me. Like, if you put her in a situation, like, nah, man, you can't program in Pascal. She'll be like, what? Like I've heard of that. I've heard of people like that who have this, like, who their pride, I don't mean pride in a bad way, I mean their pride is like their motivator. It's like, what, you think I can't, motherfucker? Allow me to reintroduce myself. So she has that. By the way, shout out to my homegirl, comedian, Keisha Shanti. Oh my God. Keisha Brownie. Excuse me, Keisha Brown. Shout out to her girl, Keisha Brown, because she's the first person I've met. I remember a long time ago, I interviewed her, and she was talking about that's how she got into comedy. She's like, what? Motherfuckers think I can't do it? And I was just like, wait. You let that, oh wow. I didn't think that was unheard of for me. Anyways, let me get back to what I was saying. So homegirls prepares for her set and goes on stage and she kills it. And she had a great experience. But there's a line, and I'm tempted to make that the title of today's episode. There's a line she says, she was comparing how the time she when she was being a witness at her own court case, and she was the way she made a parallel between that and being on stage. It's like, nah, this time I'm gonna talk, you motherfuckers are gonna listen. She didn't use those words, but I was very impressed about, one, that she did that, two, the words she used, the experience, because I was able to relate to the first time I did comedy. And she talked about, oh my God, the way she did, she paid a picture, talking about how she goes on stage, and what's the word she used to see, like, it's pitch black, you can't see the audience because it's all black, you just got the light in your face. And then she did the joke, and she talked about when she got that first laughter, and yes, it's that shit's addictive, man. And I was inspired by her story. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about now and making it all about myself. I'm thinking again on my journey to try to get back on stage to do comedy. I'm maybe going on stage the first time is easier than getting yourself to get back on stage after a long hiatus. Because, like I said, I've been talking about this shit for a while, and I would not be surprised, or I would understand those of you who are like clicked off this podcast and be like, yo, all this nigga's talking about is going on stage and he still hasn't done it. Fuck this, abort. Whatever. I get it. This shit was a movie? Fuck. The whole movie is this nigga not going on stage. Whatever. All right, whatever, man. Anyways, I was inspired by her story, man. A part of me is like trying to say if she can do it, I can do it. But I'm like, yeah, who? Come on, man. You ain't Chanel Miller. All right, okay. Okay. One last point, which was talking about comedy and that I really appreciated, is she mentioned that, because I was thinking the same thing. She mentioned how when she first talked about going into a comedy club with her friends, my first thought was, oh, please God, don't let it be a story about some asshole comedian got on stage and made some rape jokes. I just stopped myself between saying sexual harassment, sexual assault, rape, and I gotta look into it. But you know, maybe I should have said trigger warning at the beginning, but I'm going to continue to use that term. That word, that verb. Okay, so to make a point, not to whatever. Anyway, she was talking about, so I was worried about that. And the story wasn't that, but at the end, she did mention how there was a part of her that was worried that she would go on stage, some asshole would make some insensitive or some rape joke. And she said how she like trained herself to not flinch if that were to happen. Like, she braced herself for that possibility. She's in a comedy club. She braced herself for that possibility. And the part that got me, like, you know, again, on the urge to want to cry, this one got me the most, is she said that She practiced that because she didn't want to be labeled as the person who's too quote unquote sensitive. So I can speak a lot about that. About being the one odd out. You know what? I'll stop there because I'll talk longer. I got other items I want to talk about, but I'll stop there. So yeah, check out the book, chapter 6. Enjoy the book, and I look forward to reading the other chapters.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, I'm gonna jump to this one again, going with the flow, because I couldn't decide whether to make this the final thought or the other part. Okay, so what I want to talk about is Candace Owens versus Priscilla the Queen Maker. I really don't want to talk about Candace Owens, but that's my goddamn podcast. I'm allowed to change my mind. Okay, so there's a clip, and it's been on my mind, circulating the internet, of one of those Jubilee debates. I think it was Candace Owens versus a bunch of feminists, and one of the clips or one of the people she debate. I hate using that word. It's not debated. Is talk shit to. Their name is Priscilla the Queen Maker. I have no idea who she is. I don't. But I did like that one segment, between her and Candace Owens. Right now, links are in the show notes. There's a 6-minute clip. I don't think it's the full thing, but it's a 6-minute clip between the two. And what makes it let me start with. On the list of reasons why I hate Candace Owens is because, what's the word I'm looking for? She reminds me of the people growing up in church who said shit like, who would say shit like, how do I say this? I have this habit of, it takes a long time before I can trust people at their words. I don't trust people's intentions. when a Christian shows you kindness, it's like, fuck, this motherfucker wants to talk about the Bible. When they, you know, like questions that, I'm trying to find my thoughts here. I don't trust Candace Owens. I don't trust her to have a good faith conversation with her. There's always a hidden agenda. And she has tactics to make herself, like, she could come up and say, yo, the earth is flat. Something really fucked up. But she'll say it in a way that's, to the non-thinker, oh, that shit makes, hold on a second, let's hear her out. And that's the thing, the worst thing you can do is hear them out. Because everything that's going to come out their mouth is just sheer bullshit. Anyway, so in this particular case, I think the point she was debating is how women would benefit from staying at home and having kids. Something stupid like that, whatever, right? And I, And Priscilla just handled the situation very well. Now, okay, I'm not gonna summarize the whole debate, but I am gonna talk about one point that got my attention. That's really the whole setup is less about Candace Owens and despite parts that I am bringing up about it, but it's more about one point Priscilla the Queen Maker made. Now, okay, the last point I was going to make before I get to the actual point, the last point I'm going to make about Candace Owens is that, one, I don't trust her to make a good faith argument or have a good faith conversation, and two, I would lose a debate with her, not because she's right, not because she's smarter, but because she knows how to play the convincing the audience that because I'm emotional, because that's her tactic. She knows that to the uneducated audience, to the people who are like, yo, I'm just here for the great arguments. Losing your cool, getting emotional is clear sign that that person doesn't know what they're talking about or what they're saying is not based on fact. I think if I talk about, I'm trying to find a different word than hate, but people like Candace Owens in that category, what I hate about people like that is the illusion they create. You know what? I'm going to bring it back to Shannon Miller's book and how this poor woman, she talks about her experience going against the defense lawyer and how the tactics this asshole is using to get her off her game. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? It's like, I get the justice system. The defense is entitled to the best defense possible, but this asshole, Brock Turner, his parents got him a really fancy lawyer, very, really expensive lawyers who train to like deal with rape victims, who knows how to like throw them off. I hate the devil. bamboozle. I think what I'm getting at is I want to attack the English language or the white man's language. Not to say that this can't happen in another language, but I'm going to stay stuck in this. I'm thinking of a scene in the movie Amistad. I realize I still haven't made my point yet, but okay. In the movie Amistad, where Sinke, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, but one of the enslaves is being taught the definition of the word should. And this guy is like, what the f- should? Either you do it or you fucking don't. I'm just saying, man, I feel like the white man's language is like, there's a reason why we invented words. But then you got this concept of deception. I feel like deception and the white man's language go hand in hand. The defense lawyer, the Candace Owen, it's their strategy, their tactic, their talent is deception. Is convincing you that what is isn't. I don't know. It grinds my gears. Grinds my gears. All right. Now, let me, I'm going to have to wrap this up into a final thought. Okay. So, final thought is, God damn it. Okay. Because I realized I still haven't made my last point. The last point I was trying to make about this, Candace Owens and versus Princella, the Queen Maker, is a fact that Princella brought up, and she said, let me make sure I get the information right. The average American reads at a level below what is typically expected for their age group. Many sources indicate that over half of U.S. adults read below sixth grade level, more than half sixth grade level. Specifically, okay, read below sixth grade level. I joke about reading at a sixth grade level, but apparently it's a fact. And the point being made is how, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, of course Donald Trump would make sense. Of course a second term Donald Trump would make sense. Because he met voters where they're at. You know what stupid people, I'm going to use the word stupid people, grade six level, whatever, but I'm going to use stupid people. You know what, because this is the real stupid people I'm talking about, right? You know what stupid people don't like? Being made to feel stupid. And Trump showed up and said, you're not stupid. They are. And I'm thinking about that. So one, I'm thinking, oh, a Donald Trump makes sense. Two, the one of the reasons why liberals who don't show up to vote because their candidate ain't perfect. I'm gonna attack that, man. One, of course, a second term. I know we're in the States. Okay, I'll focus on Canada in a second, right? But I'm not in the States, but it makes sense that a second term vote, Donald Trump would happen because he met voters where they are. He looked at where they're at, while Americans were focused on where they thought they were. What did I write? I said Trump was willing to meet Americans where they were and not where they thought they were. I think this is the an old man's complaining about politics right now. And what I'm saying is part of why you as a liberal need to vote liberal, even though your candidate isn't perfect, is because your side believes in prince. Your side is the side of, I read books. I value education. I value, shit like education. I value shit like science, medicine. It's the side of science are more, scientists are more likely to be free. Truth is more likely to come out, is more likely to sprung with my candidate. It's voting for, no, I'm not fucking arguing whether the earth is flat or round. It's voting for, yo, fuck that, man. It's like, look, we figured this out already. Now, where liberals went wrong, and I'll admit why it could be hard to see, is because, and I say liberals in Canada and in the States, the Democrats, is how they've allowed Israel to be like, hey, these are your talking points. And these motherfuckers are gaslighting us with, no, it's not a genocide. We stand with Israel. If they tell us it's not a genocide, then it's not a genocide. Because then you become as bad as the fucking Republicans because you're bullshitting us. What I'm trying to say is liberals decide of, we don't bullshit you. But that's a lie. I guess it's yeah, I'm realizing it's, that's what, the liberal candidate, Democrat, liberal, whatever, has a tougher job because he's got to convince skeptical motherfuckers. While Trump's side, all he's got to do is show them a shiny object. And they'll be like, yes, you got our vote. There's a point I made myself. It's like, look, in talking about the whole Candace Owens of the world, right? I can handle differences of opinion, contrary to popular belief. I can handle that. What I can't handle, a difference of opinion based on your dumb ass falling for the okie doke. Trump, I'm imitating Trump with a bunch of car keys, shaking his keys in front of you, and you're like, yay! 4 more years! 4 more years! That I can't handle. That I can't stomach. I don't have a point except for, like, on one end, I want to get mad at liberals who don't show up to vote. But on the other end, I get it. But one thing you can't do is start bitching about the consequences. Like the liberals who are like on the internet who didn't vote and on the internet going, oh, Trump is so stupid. Not really. He played the game and won. Accept that. process that. Now, I'm going to go back to Canada. The reason why I'm going to bring up Canada is because you would think, sure, Pierre Poilievre lost that last election, but he's not done. The fact he's still sticking around, the fact he's still like the opposition leader. Let me confirm. Who is the? Yep. Yeah, Pierre Poilievre. That motherfucker is still there. He's still there. The reason he's doing that is because, yeah, we didn't win this time. If for the same reason Trump didn't give up after he lost that against Biden. And it's like, oh, I know my white people. I know my dumb people. I just need to shake more of these keys. I gotta, you know, say some outlandish shit. I gotta convincing them the problems they're going through is their fault. And I win this because the payoff is fucking great. He's going to sing and dance, do whatever the fuck, and burn a cross, do whatever the fuck he needs to do to get himself elected the next time. He's waiting for Carney to, like, sneeze wrong. And then, boom, pounce on that shit. Pierre Poilievre knows what the fuck he's doing, man. He's in it for the long con. The long range. Anyway, yeah, so I think I'm going to stop here, man. I'm going to stop here. The way I'm going to remix this shit in the editing, I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but I don't know. I'm doing a lot of talking to say that I'm going to edit this to make this the final the feature thought, and I will probably make the title Taking Out the Garbage. Make the title for this episode Taking Out the Garbage. Right, because I've been talking longer than I wanted to talk for. All right. This concludes today's episode. Not the most organized. Wait, hold on. Did I put this in there? I don't know why I put Trump News what he was doing. I don't know why I'm thinking of the... By the way, I'm watching Gilded Age. I don't know why. It's just nothing. My brain is not working. It's all that fucking weed, gang. All right. It's I put in my notes. Why was I... when I was making this point about Trump meaning voters where they're at and liberals needing to be more realistic about shit, for some reason I wrote down the third episode of Gilded Age, the latest episode. There was a link I was supposed to make between something that happened in that show and I got lost. Whatever, man, but I'll probably bring it up on the next episode. But with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and Shut Up Podcast 411@gmail.com is the email address. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rouge's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck white. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you're going to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!